Anybody here ever heard of Richard Eby? I watched him a lot, used to on TBN. He was killed. He fell off of a third floor in a house in Chicago, fell all the way to the curb from about 30 feet in the air and hit right on his head, right on the curb, just busted his head wide open, brains went everywhere. He was dead. And of course, they hauled him down to the hospital, to the morgue, put him in a cooler and called his wife. And so the Lord spoke to her and says, hey, Richard's not dead. Claim his body. And she heard the Lord tell her, she heard a man tell her he's dead. But she heard the Lord tell her he's alive. She goes to the hospital, and of course she has to fly from California all the way to Chicago. And Richard had two or three hospitals. He was a very wealthy man. She came up there. When she gets there, she said, well, I've come to claim my husband. And they said, ma'am, he's dead. And she said, he's dead. Said, the Lord told me he was alive. And they said, well, you got some misinformation because he's very dead. And so she said, well, where is he? And she said, well, this nurse said, I'll take you. He's been in the cooler now, down in the basement of the hospital. So they go down there, they walk in the cooler, and she goes to his slab and she pulls it out. And when she pulls it out, Richard sets up. The nurse fainted. And the wife said, Richard, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, I've been with the Lord. Man, this has been an awesome experience. And he was totally well, you know. And I've heard him tell about heaven, how wonderful it is and all those things. And he said, you want to make sure you go to this place? Because it was an awesome, beautiful place. The Lord had showed it to him. And then later, Richard went on a trip to Israel. And while he was in Lazarus' tomb, when he was over in Israel, he was standing there down, way down in that hole. And the light went out, one little light bulb down there so he could see. And the light went out. And he said, it turned pitch black. And I said, what happened? Where's the light? And the Lord said, Richard, it's me, son. I'm fixing to take you on another trip. He said, Lord, where are we going? He said, I'm taking you to hell. He said, Lord, by what grounds can you take me to hell? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, son, I'm God. I can do anything I want to do. In other words, I just happen to be the boss, kids. And he said, I have showed you heaven, and you have done a good job telling all the people how wonderful heaven is. But now I'm going to take you to hell so you'll know what it's like, so you can go back and tell them how awful it is. And so Richard said he was in that place 5 minutes. And of course, you know, he said it seemed like eternity, but about 5 minutes. And then he came back and the Lord told him, said, now then you've seen it, you've heard it, you've smelled it, you know what it's like. I want you to tell people they don't want to come here. And so he told that story. I've heard him tell it many times. And then he said, and the Lord also told me that I would not die, but I would be taken in the rapture. Well, see, we misunderstand the rapture. Everybody is taken in the rapture. That's the only way we can go. If I were to drop dead right this second, it would be my rapture. You know, don't y'all worry about coming over here and try to raise me from the dead, because as I'm leaving and I'm going to heaven, I'm going to say, y'all touch that body. You know, y'all forget it. I'm out of here. I'm going home. I really ain't ready to go yet. So I guess I wouldn't be too hard on y'all if you prayed for me once or twice or something and brought me back from the dead. As long as it glorified the Lord, right, Joseph? Amen. So comfort and encourage each other with these words, chapter 5. I really don't need to write to you about how and when all these things will happen, dear brothers and sisters, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. Now, let me tell you what. The day of the Lord, or the judgment day that's coming, the world will not be looking for that day. But that's not the case with us. Let's go verse 3 and 4. When people are saying all is well, or peace and safety and secure, then disaster will fall upon them. And as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the darkness. Now he's talking to us again. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. I mean, I can see all kinds of signs all over. Can't you, as a child of God, don't you see all kinds of signs that the coming of the Lord is near? I guarantee I see it everywhere, and that's why it's not going to surprise me if he were to descend from heaven this next week, or if it's next year, or if it's 5 years from now, or 10 years now. It's still not going to catch me unaware. I'm going to know that his coming is even at the door, and so I'm going to be ready, aren't we? We're going to be ready all the time so that if he comes, we don't have to worry about it, right, Brother David? We're going to be ready. Praise the Lord. We're going to be ready. Verse 5 and 6. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness at night, so be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be sober. In other words, stay alert, stay in the Word, pray, talk to the Lord, be walking holy, be without sin, so that if it is your time to come, He'll come. Can you just see Him come down, reach down, pick you up like this, raise you up like this, and He puts His arm around you and say, my dear, I'm so glad that you served me while you were. I'm going to give you all these rewards. And that's the way we all want it to be. We want the King, when He comes and reaches down and grabs us by the hand and takes us out, wow, we want to be ready, don't we? I don't want to be sitting back there and thinking, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do if He comes today? I'm not ready. No, forget it. I won't be ready when He comes, aren't you? Amen. And if you're not ready, get that way. You know, don't do anything. I mean, continuously live like today might be your last day on the earth. Love your children like this might be the last time you ever see them. Because, you know, I've lived through that. You've heard me tell my story many times about how my daughter was standing there at the sink washing dishes on Thursday evening when I came in, and she said, hi, Dad, how are you doing? And I walked right up to her, put my hands on her hips right behind her, and when I leaned over, she turned around and kissed me on the cheek. I said, I'm doing great, honey. How are you doing? She said, Dad, I'm great. That's the last words I ever saw, ever said to my 24-year-old daughter. Little did I know, from Thursday evening until Saturday morning, and I never saw her again. Thursday evening, I didn't see her anymore. I had something else to do. I was not at home, and I did not see her Saturday morning before she left. But that little did I know, that would be the last time ever I would touch her or see her alive. But you know, it was a good memory that I put my hands on her hips as she turned around and kissed me on the cheek and said, Dad, I love you. Wow. That's the way it should be, right? When we go away, that's the way it should. We should not have a knockdown drag out that evening over some stupid little something that didn't mean nothing. But you know, that happens to families. They have fusses and fights about things. And just think, what good would it do to be fuss and fight if you knew in 15 minutes you were going to be gone forever? And none of us know that, do we? None of us know. We plan like we're going to live forever. And there's nothing wrong with planning like you're going to live forever. But I'm going to tell you what, you ain't. You're going to live a little while, and then He's going to come get you, isn't He, Joseph? All of us. So be on your guard. Not asleep like others. Stay alert and be sober, because the King is coming. Verse 7 and 8. Night is the time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. As children of the Most High God, we should be confident in everything. We should know who we are. We're sons and daughters of God. We can pray and ask for anything. Just like Dave, we're going out there and he's looking on that screen and there's an awful storm. I mean, lightning and thunder and all kinds of rain and everything else. And it's right in front of us. And he asked the Lord to move it to the south so we can go by. I didn't even know he prayed it. But I just watched it go by. Of course, I'm kind of lightly praying too. Lord, keep us out here in the clear. But he did too. And we went right through that thing. Should we be concerned about anything? Well, the week before, when we come back from Baltimore, Washington, we come through and it was a humongous storm just north of us, about 20 miles. It was real close, big thing. We're flying along there. And as we get past it, we fly in smooth air, just like sitting right here. And yet, here's this big storm right there. You can see it not only on the computer, but you can see it for real. And just as we fly by it, of course, we're kind of in the clouds. But as we fly by it, of course, I can't see behind me. But Dave said, Pastor, look at what's happening. Just where we have just passed through, look at the cells building up right where we just went through. We asked God to give us a good path, and He left it open for us to get through. And once we got through, He wanted to rain over there, so some cells built up and the people got rain. Now, isn't that amazing? What can we do in prayer?
Anything.
There ain't nothing impossible in prayer when you do it in faith and love. Verse 9 and 10. For God decided to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out His anger on us. Aren't we glad? Now, He's going to pour out His anger on those that don't know Him one day. You know that? That day is coming, but praise God that we're saved, so he's not going to pour his anger out upon us. He died for us so that we can live with him forever, whether we are dead or alive at the time of his return. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're alive or dead. The king's going to catch you up out of the ground. I can stand in awe. When I look at that story, somebody what was out at GLC, somebody said something about that. And they just don't understand how that's going to happen. I said, you know, I can only imagine when Ezekiel was standing out there when the Lord says, Ezekiel, do you believe this valley of dry bones can live again? And he said, Lord, only you know. He said, well, speak to him. He wasn't a bit excited, was he? Ezekiel, speak to those bones. Why did God tell Ezekiel to speak to those bones? Because Ezekiel was flesh and he was on the earth, and God needs a man to do something on the earth before he can do something in the spirit world. So he says, speak to those bones. And so can you imagine what Ezekiel said? I command bone to come to bone. And now then, when he said that, a shoulder bone from this man and a hip bone from this man didn't come together, did they? The bones that belonged to the same man, bone came to bone. Now, that's a little wild, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, Ezekiel's sitting there watching these bones rattling across the ground, and all of a sudden, a whole army of Israeli skeletons are standing there. And then the Lord says, you think these bones can have flesh on them? And I can only imagine Ezekiel said, oh, God, only you know. Wow, Lord. And he said, well, speak to them. Speak, command sinews and flesh to come upon them. And he did. And man, it happened. And then he said, now then, we got an army of men with no breath. Do you believe these men can live? I can again see Ezekiel saying, oh, Lord, only you know. He said, well, speak to the breath, the wind. Command the breath to come inside of them. And they did. And all of a sudden, we got a living army of Israeli troops standing there. So what can God do? Ain't nothing hard for God. When you get a hold of that, you'll cast your care on him, and you won't go back and get it. Like Cheryl said so many times, she used to pray for somebody or her own children, and she'd cast them on the Lord, and she'd turn around and get about two steps, and then she'd turn around and go back over and take them back again. One day the Lord asked her, I thought you turned them over to me. She said, well, I have. He said, no, you haven't. You keep taking them back. If you'll just trust me, I can fix them.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled God Has Called Us to Be Holy, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.